Good morning.
Curtis, Kelly.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm a little frustrated. I'm 7 or 8 minutes late here. Sorry about that.
Well, that's
how are things
okay
in your world?
I just phoned you, so no worries. I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, you know, the fires are creating a lot of smoky atmosphere around here, but, you know, the winds were at one point as much as 70, 80 miles an hour. So,
oh, wow.
You know, the place, California, man, is just, it's on fire. I mean, it really is just on fire.
And, are you in a safe area where you're not at risk of?
Yeah, I'm in a safe area. I'm in the Livermore, Valley. It's in the East Bay of San Francisco, and so it's got a lot of wineries out here, about 40, and a lot of the activity is occurring further north in Sonoma. So Sonoma wine region, they've been on fire. One winery, Soda Rock, is completely burnt down, and, you know, there's just, it's been crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
It's not any better.
Well, I've been thinking about you, especially given what you're dealing with the loss of Pat, and just know that we continue to keep you in our thoughts and prayers, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I so appreciate that, Kelly. The first 2 weeks were really tough, and leading up to her service. That, I got to tell you, man, 40 years of marriage to a wonderful woman, it was tough. I mean, I couldn't even talk about it without getting choked up. So I'm in a better place now. I know that she is definitely in a better place herself, and but I'm going to miss her for a long time, and I think that's okay. So I'm putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, getting the work done. At some point, I'm going to probably try to take a little vacation.
Good.
But, you know, I'm working on my next book, which is going to be more of a memoir, and you know, I'm going to just talk about a lot of the challenges that I faced and lessons that were learned. And so I'm excited about it all.
I would love to hear more about that when you got time. Maybe we can carve out some time to learn and hear about that. I'd love to hear what you're doing in that area.
Oh, yeah. It's I've had people just encouraging me, you got to write your book because, you know, your journey was very unique to most folks, and you've got to tell the story. And so, I'm creating my outline, almost finished, and, you know, I've written some pages, and so I'm gonna write this book.
It'll well, the be last fun. 12 months have been really, I mean, you've had a lot of life experiences just in the last 12 months.
Oh, you know, how does a guy, you know, go into the ER with a tear in his artery, get a triple bypass, go through inpatient therapy, and then outpatient therapy, and then tack on an extra 2 days at the gym on top of that? I mean, I'm back to working out 6 days a week.
That's
doing
great.
Cardio and 45 minutes of strength training. So I went out and hit some golf balls last Saturday and,
nice.
You know, banking it and not feeling any kind of soreness or hesitation. So I felt really, really good about that.
Nice.
So, yeah, and so it's the thing about it is I was in shape when I went in there, and
mm-hmm.
so that's a lesson in and of itself. you know, don't get yourself too out of whack where you can't keep yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually strong. And you know, one of the results of this, and I'll share this with you, Kelly, is I read a daily devotional,
mm-hmm.
and then I write in a journal.
Oh, that's nice. That's really important. Yeah.
And then I do 15 minutes of meditation, followed by some stretching
mm-hmm.
and some push-ups and some planks. And that's all before I even go to the gym.
Right. Are you doing like TM or what? Or just something? I mean, you don't have to tell me. It might be personal to you, but anyway, just kind of curious on the meditation.
Yeah, on the
meditation or what?
Yeah, on the meditation. Read a daily devotional by Charles Stanley, and he's got a book called it's 365, and mm-hmm. so there's a devotional for each day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read that and get kind of the spiritual influence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the topics vary. The topics talk about, you know, sometimes managing anger. There was a topic on, you know, when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
symbolism associated with being humble.
Right.
And so you translate that into your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And the meditation part starts with a prayer, which is, you know, just giving thanks for the abundance that you receive, and then, you know, asking for forgiveness, and then asking for help, not only for myself, but for others. And I just find it to be, you know, invigorating.
Right.
So that's...
Well, I mean, it's a form of programming, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's... We oftentimes sort of lose sight of the fact that what we put in is going to affect what goes out. And,
Absolutely. Yeah. We think we're alone fighting these battles, and you know, there is a person who is a winner of all battles and all skirmishes. And you know, I'm not trying to get real religious on you, but the spiritual impact of kind of thinking about that. And the reason I meditate is, you know, sometimes, Kelly, in the course of what you do, you get a gut feel, or you might mm-hmm. say, my intuition is telling me this. Mm-hmm. These are messages that you are receiving, and sometimes the world is so noisy. I mean, it is littered with so much noise. It's your phones are ringing, you
right.
got clients. Meetings, you got activities
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
When do you get a chance to shut off the noise, okay, for 15 minutes and kind of listen to the messages that you're receiving about, you know, your next move and what you should be doing?
You know, it's really interesting because I think we've developed a neat friendship, and part of it is that I haven't really ever opened up about my own faith and what I believe or don't believe and all that, and I don't really do a lot of that, honestly. I don't know why. I mean, maybe I'm a little gun-shy when it comes to some of this stuff, but I'm a definitely believer in a higher power, and I'm a practicing Christian, and I don't really go down any particular what I'd consider conventional path on that stuff, but I think it's really, really important to even whatever your belief system may be. And I have friends of all sorts of different faiths out there, and some friends are
same here,
you know, agnostic, and God knows I've had my periods of doubt as well. And what I try to do is I really try to say, okay, well, if I can, you know, and American Boy Scouts have a good term for it. They call it do a good turn.
Right.
You know, one a day. I try to, you know, do a good turn without intentionally knowing it, you know.
Yeah.
I try to do it that way. But at the same time, I'm really dealing with and seeing at this stage in my life, at least, the importance of carving out that time, like what you're talking about. I think doing it at the beginning and the end of the day, or maybe the beginning of the day and very first thing, and then maybe even a little quiet time, like after work and before dinner, but before you get to the evening work. You know, I always find myself, you know, going back to this stuff and getting a lot of stuff done after dinner if I'm not doing family stuff. And, you know, it's...
You're creating these rituals.
You got to have rituals, and it's so important because in our world today, we have gotten so... the rate of change, the way information is delivered to us, all these things that you know more about than I do, so I don't need to belabor it. But we have all that wonderful convenience.
Yeah.
But it's like we're not doing the basic stuff that, honestly, you know, the Stoics were doing in ancient Greece back in, you know, 300 BC or something. So, you know, and a lot of the stuff isn't new, and it's simple.
Yeah.
But it's not easy, right? I mean, it's not easy to go to the gym six times a week, especially after what you've just been through. It's not easy to make sure you meditate every day. It's not easy to have the discipline and even the self-awareness and the wherewithal or whatever. I call it more of a self-discipline thing to have a daily journal. And it's funny you mention all this because I haven't had the daily journal, and I, up until about a year and a half ago, I wasn't doing the daily, I would do daily devotionals, but I didn't have the daily quiet time. And so I'd use different things. Like I've read Us for His Highest probably three times, which is a daily devotional from Oswald Chambers. And most people are familiar with it if they're, you know, the Christian faith or whatever. And, you know, I'm looking for other things. So this Charles Stanley devotional, I'm going to check that out. And I'm going to send you two books. I don't know if you like to read more like the old hard copy version of books, or if you like to go Kindle or Audible. I do Audible because I find it more convenient, and I'm more of an auditory learner. Most people are visual learners.
I go with both. I mean, you know, if I'm at gym and I got an Audible, I'll listen to it while I'm, you know, doing my hour worth of cardio. And, you know, otherwise I do read books and I underline and I highlight and I write in the margins and I do things like that.
Well, I'm going to send you a book you don't need because I think you're already doing it. And you may already have read it. But if you haven't, I got it through a friend who I serve on a board at Texas A&M, my alma mater.
Okay.
And with the College of Liberal Arts there, and he's a friend of mine that works in the development office.
Okay.
Larry Walker is his name. He gave me this book about 3 weeks ago, and I read it, and I really loved it. And it's called The Obstacle's the Way.
Okay.
And it's by a guy by the name of Ryan Holiday. And I'll send that to you.
Okay.
We'll get off the call. I'll just text it to you where you can download it to Audible. And then I'll send you a second book by his, which I'm about a third of the way through, called The Ego is the Enemy.
Right.
And they're both really good. Of course, I can't speak for Ego is the Enemy because I haven't read it all. But The Obstacle's the Way is I'm seeing a lot of what they're talking about in that book. You're modeling through your own example of, you know, what you've been living and dealing with here just in the little bit of time that I've known you, and especially the last 12 months. And and I think it'll, you know, maybe it'll give you some,
you know, I mean,
some
reassurance
and dealing with the obstacles you're dealing with right now, you know?
Look, March 6th of last year, my mother passed away.
Jeez.
The year before that, Pat's brother, who was living in Oakland, went to the grocery store, and there was a drive-by where somebody shot up the place.
Jeez.
He was mortally wounded.
Who was?
Yeah, her baby brother. And
God.
We had to get him down to San Diego, and he was a paraplegic, multiple surgeries, and ended it took approximately 4 years. He lived another 4 years, had two beautiful sons, ended up passing away, and all he went to do was go get a loaf of bread and a carton of milk. And so, you know, how you respond to adversity, what you learn, how you get steeped in your belief system so that you can gather strength and move on is really kind of carving out that pathway and having some spiritual enlightenment that, you know, really backs you up. And, you know, we allude to it in one of the supernova chapters, and it's about, and it's a brief mention, you know, and we don't go into as much detail on it, but it's really about taking care of your mental, your physical, and your spiritual life.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's all.
Bingo.
That's all we really say about it. We don't go into many examples, you know, in terms of your health and eating right and all of those things. We just make a brief mention of it. But for those that, you know, want to, you know, explore and talk about it more deeply, you know, that's okay by me. I used to listen to motivational tapes. I had an hour and a half commute into my office in Washington, and it was only 10 miles, but the traffic was so bad it took that long to get there sometimes. But I would listen to those tapes going to work, going from work, and they became like Dale Carnegie and Dennis Waitley. They became words to kind of live by.
Right.
And it gave me some external strength when I was, you know, at Merrill, doing battle, you know, getting the 7 consecutive promotions that I received. And it was very, very helpful to me. And now what I've done is just try to take these things to a higher plane and, you know, really define what does physical fitness mean to me? What does spiritual enlightenment mean to me? What does it mean to be mentally correct and mentally strong? And so that's you know, that's what I've been able to figure out. And, you know, and I'll tell you this last component, and then you can chime in. But in my journal, I've been thinking about what is my purpose. And it dawned on me that my purpose is not to make as much money as I can make or to be the best golfer I can be. My purpose is to inspire, to help people find the motivation so that they can see goodness in their lives and have rich lives. That's my purpose. So whether I'm managing people in a Merrill Lynch branch or region or, but that's really the
coaching
the,
and mentoring, whatever role it may be. Yeah.
That's right. That's the purpose.
Well, I think that's essential because, everybody's got to have a reason to get up in the morning, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and you've got this gap of, you know, you don't really have necessarily, at least a spouse anyway, right now to share it with.
That's
but
right.
Everybody needs a purpose and somebody to share their life with, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, and there's that void. And I don't mean to, you know, open that up. But for so many people, you know, I'm like, you know, they think it's going to be, you know, the plaque on the wall or the degree from this university or, you know, this house or this car or. And it just never stops, right? I mean, a better wife, a better kid, you know, just on and on and on and on.
Right.
And they're just like the cat chasing its tail on the living room floor, and they just keep doing this all throughout their lives. And you have to live for a while before you start to realize the elusiveness of that, and maybe in all of our cases, pursuing some of those things and seeing the futility of that.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing that, you know, your peace of mind and
you got to get back to what's really important in your life.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, for some things that you couldn't get back, you know, one way to think of it, if there are things you couldn't get back, what would you do differently?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to sound like an ad for not going out and kicking ass and doing well. I mean, we all want to do that, but sometimes we do it at the expense of the things that matter infinitely more, you know? I mean, and you can do both. I think this notion of people saying that, well, you can't have it all, I go, well, no, you can't have it all. Like, you know, you don't have a wife right now. I mean, you know, Audrey doesn't have perfect health. You know, Bridget has, I'm sure, her challenges and stuff like that. Nobody has it all, but it's back to that sort of, how do you frame adversity? Do you actually turn adversity on its nose and on its ear, and then eventually upside down, and actually springboard off that adversity, or do you go? And you really have, you know, a choice there. It's not like it's predetermined, and then the world makes those choices for you, because it the world doesn't work that way, right?
Right.
And you know, I don't know. I mean, I just think it's really vital that, especially today more than ever, that people understand that, you know,
right,
you've got to get those three pillars down, and you've really got to find a system that works for you. And I'm still working on that. I mean, I'm getting there. I'm not, you know, but I guess I'll always be, you know, in a certain degree, just, you know, if you're growing, you're paying attention to these sorts of things, you know, and you're doing something about it.
You know, I have three R's that I kind of think about. It's reinvent, reimagine, and redefine. If I'm doing the same thing over and over again, then I don't feel like I'm growing. So, you know, I think about, how can I reinvent, how can I reimagine what I do, how can I redefine what I do so that I don't fall behind. And so
right.
I've had many people tell me that I'm a lifelong learner. And
yeah.
I am. So those
and that's
are,
a huge key to success right there, too, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's vital. It's essential. If you're not doing it, you're just going to, you know. Well, you know what it's like. I mean, you've gone through every kind of iteration of life experience and business experience and everything else. I mean, there's not that many people that have experienced both segments of that, you know, on the personal and the business the way you have. So, yeah, I could see why you'd write a book, and I don't even know 1/10 of the tip of your iceberg story. So, yeah, I get it. But it's really essential. You know, we're even doing that within our practice right now. There's, you know, I'll share with you over the weekend. I'll send you just a bullet point email just saying, you know, these are kind of the things we're doing right now.
Okay.
To promote accountability within the team. Want to get your feedback on that. I don't want to take up, you know, more time than what you'd slotted, but you'll get a follow-up email from me either Saturday or Sunday, and I'll tie that back to the business plan so that you kind of know what's going on there, and I'll copy Bridget and Audra on it as well, so they're in the loop on what's going on. And but I think there's some neat things. There's a program that I just, like, in the last week found out about, and I'll reference it too. But it's you're probably familiar with it, but it's OKR, especially since it's California based.
Okay.
Kind of came out of Silicon Valley. Are you familiar with OKR?
Okay, I've heard of it, but tell me more.
Yeah, so O stands for objectives and KR stands for key results.
Okay.
And when we're measuring progress within the team, you know, oftentimes people just get fixated on the end result instead of what they need to be doing in between.
Right, the tasks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do OKRs for our business plan.
Okay.
So that we go from opinions to measurable data, you know. And I'll share with you sort of what we're doing there, at least the process we're going through to determine sort of how do we take what's in the model that you've given us and see if OKR might be a good tool to add to the quiver as we move forward. Because I'm a big believer in, you know, if you look at successful teams like Alabama comes to mind, their current football team and current coach, and then in basketball, the old UCLA Bruins teams from the 60s and the 70s when they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton and a whole host of other players that played with under Coach Sean Wooden, there's a commonality that I don't think it's my observation, it's been made by others, and I'm just sharing their observations, but there's a common link between these two coaches in two different points in time, two different sports. And a common factor is that these guys didn't focus on the score. They focused on the process and the systems and making sure that their players knew exactly what the objectives were and exactly what the key results were that they were going to be measuring. And then they kind of let the scoreboard take care of itself, essentially.
Yeah, you know, and our approach is to get all team members strategically aligned.
Right.
You know, common purpose, common vision.
Right.
And a process in order to get there. So, yeah, mm-hmm. you're absolutely right.
Right.
Absolutely right.
So I'm gonna just send you, you know, over the weekend sort of a brief email there. I'm going to visit with Bridget. She's now at a point, well, with a hire that they made recently to where her time is not like, I mean, it was impossible for her to be on these calls the last 3 or 4 months. Just absolutely impossible. I'm going to take her temperature between now and when I send you that email about, you know, does she want to loop back into the calls and everything?
Sure.
And then you and I need to visit sometime in the next 30 days, let's say, sometime between now and December 1st. About our agreement going into 2020 and what we need to do there financially and what we want to, what you want that to look like and what I want that to look like and, you know, and find some common ground there. And we don't need to do all that right now, just kind of an FYI of what you can expect from me and kind of what's on my mind.
I want to really, really make this about and your team, and I'll tell you some interesting things that I am doing. I've been working with UBS. I help them create a corporate strategy on teaming.
Uh-huh.
And, because they kind of are hit or miss in terms of teams, and people have been forming teams for a lot of the wrong reasons, and they need to get on top of that. So I've been working with them, and I helped them develop their team strategy. Also, Morgan Stanley rolled out a new initiative, and, you know, everybody now is moving beyond just the assembly of people to creating teams that really, really function and work. And so that's one of the things I'm working on. The other is I'm coming up with a concept. You know, we talk about team models and how you work with specialty teams and specialists internally. You know, now what I think we have to do to take it to another level is look at external networks that you as a team bring to bear on a client relationship. You do the things that you are expert on, but if you run into a business, for example, that's got cash flow management issues, is there a CFO in your hip pocket that you can call on to help that business? That's part of your external network. If the business hasn't quite cultivated its web presence or its social media presence, do you have that expert in social media that can step in and help that business?
Mm-hmm.
If issues in terms of direction and strategy, and the owner is a little bit perplexed on his direction, is there a strategist that can step in and help that business formalize its strategic direction?
Right.
While you're focusing more on corporate wellness solutions. So the small business person doesn't really have access to those tools.
Mm-hmm.
And if you created an external network of a couple of people in those categories, then it's also going to be cross-referrals for you, and those are services that you're going to provide these business owners.
Right.
So that's kind of a new direction, because most folks in the holistic field, the private wealth folks, are all working with clients' external advisors. But the folks that are in that $2 million to $3 million, $4 million category aren't doing it.
I believe it.
So this gives you kind of an opportunity to just really continue to differentiate yourself among the rest. So I would put that down as kind of an initiative for you going into next year, is how can we create that? And I'll give you an example. We brought in the folks from LinkedIn to to one of our board meetings, and the whole meeting was devoted to how to use it, how to leverage it, and the guy was really, really good, and we discovered a whole bunch of things that we weren't doing. And
yeah.
So to have access to that resource to just say, hey, maybe you ought to give this person a call. There's no
mm-hmm.
charge. And there's another group out here. I don't know if you have something similar in Texas. They have a CFOs to go. These are folks that have all been finance professionals, CFOs, inside companies that can basically rip up a balance sheet, income statement, and help businesses set a tone and a direction for how they manage their finances.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have one of those folks, I went to an event in Napa sponsored by CFOs to go, and there were 150 people in attendance. So, and they had some specialties. One guy was working in the agricultural wine industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came in and had a huge event, but those are the external kinds of things that you can do to make life easier for you.
So, well, and for them, it's helping them too, right? And I love it because, you know, at the end of the day, you got all these baby boomers that probably own 2/3 of the businesses out there, right?
Absolutely.
And they really need help on what do I need to do to accelerate value in my business, not only for good business strategy today, so my business does well today, but also to make it more sellable or transferable whenever I don't want to do this anymore.
Exactly.
Whether they're transferring to a family member, which happens about 30% of the time,
right,
or the other 70% of the time, you know, there's some sort of a third-party change,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
or the worst of exits, they die with their boots on, which you don't want to have happen, but you have to plan around, you know, death, divorce, and disability too, the three D's, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of them haven't even gone that far because they're just so busy with the day-to-day, they haven't really been able to step back and look at things objectively and say, what am I really doing here, you know, to plan for the future. And I think the family business, if you will, I like to call them family businesses because people know what I mean when I say family business. That segment really, for the most part, that 80% of their net worth that's in a family business hasn't really been addressed very effectively from a planning perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not on the statement at Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley or RBC or wherever, right? But yet it's 80% of their net worth, and they really don't have what I would consider, in 90% of the cases, clear, concise of goals about how to monetize that at some point or transfer it, but you're still monetizing it either way, whether you're transferring it or selling it. There's going to be some sort of change of value unless they just decide with that piece they're going to gift it, but that's probably not the best idea in the world. But that happens some too.
We're thinking along the same lines here.
Yeah.
What you already have and take it to this kind of next level without, you know, having to do everything yourself, but leveraging other people that
right.
can
support you. Yeah, that's exactly the direction we're going in. And I think that step, what I'll do in my email over the weekend, too, is I'll break down those practice areas that I can think of that would be relevant. I mean, you mentioned some of them already.
Yeah.
And we'll just work on filling that in and having those deliverables. And it's got the double whammy effect, obviously, of it's deliverables to the client, but it's also got the impactfulness, too, of not only helping them, but helping our business grow through a COI network that would facilitate that process. So
when you go into 2020, so what it is now is looking at the personal things that you want to do and looking at the business things you want to do. And basically now you don't do the comprehensive strategy, but you've got the action plans with initiatives, and you either restate some goals or you calculate some new ones that you want to.
Right. Well, and I want to get as measurable as I can and having tools for weekly accountability. And I met with Bridget this morning about that, and she and I are going to be putting together a system for that because I don't think we're as systematized on measuring that as we'd like to be. It's not negatively impacting the business. I just see it as a weak link that needs to get addressed because I feel like that there's some things operationally that I can do differently. Like I told her, I said, I'm just going to put an out of office reply on my email and really focus on, you know, either being in a client meeting, being in a prospect meeting or a COI meeting. And I said, you know, we all get caught in email jail and spend way too much time on this stuff. And we're going to do like a 3-week trial of something very different from what we're doing right now to just try it on and see if it'll work. But I'm going to check my email 3 times a day. I'm just not going to do it throughout the day. I'm going to do it at certain times.
Yeah. I mean,
so that we can build efficiencies and me not just sit there and grab every email when it comes in and that kind of thing.
You will be going through, you know, leveraging processes throughout your career, refining, getting better, you know, as your business continues to evolve, you'll continue to change. So,
well,
you know, good for you.
This is helpful. I think I've got pretty clear marching orders. I'll make sure that Audra and Bridget are in the loop on what we talked about today, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not sure what happened with Audra, but I know she knew we had a call, but she might have had something come up or something.
Okay.
And with Bridget, you know, she's just now kind of getting back into where I think we can not get booed out of the room for asking the question of, hey, can you reconfigure back into these calls? she was really getting stretched because of the resources that
I know I feel
limitations
bad.
We had. But I'm going to check with her on that today, and I'll be able to, you know, give you some clarity on that when I email you over the weekend. Okay.
Yeah. So please do. I look forward to receiving your email, and I think there were, you know, there were a couple of sessions where we agreed that I was going to tack on a couple of calls toward the end of the program. So, you know, I still want that. So just kind of keep that in mind.
No, I appreciate you mentioning that, and I totally get where you're going with that. And I do think we need to do that. I'm just trying to, you know, keep the focus on.
Yeah, keep the schedule.
You know,
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have almost like a primary focus and then a secondary focus, but that's I get where you're going with that, and I think that would be most helpful because we could really use some feedback and guidance on that. And
okay.
I've got some new information there, and would love to do that when it's, you know, a good time for you. And I'll get these two books to you. As soon as we get off here, I'll shoot them your way.
Okay. Well, look, I appreciate it. I appreciate you thinking about me and caring about me, and I think about you all, and I care about you too, and I'm so pleased that things are moving in the right direction for you. So keep up the great
work. Well, you're a big part of that.
All right. Look, you have a great rest of the day and an enjoyable weekend.
You too, Curtis. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.